Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, that did not work. Never mind that. We'll just go ahead and start the show. Welcome to The Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating. I am Pam Ray. With me is my co-host, Incoherent Dust, otherwise known as Mika. Mika and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Now, tonight is our sensual poetry night. If you find that that is not your cup of tea, then please make sure to check out our other shows. We have a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also make sure to check out our poetry anthologies on sale on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. Now, I hope everybody is having a wonderful night, looking forward to delving into and reading and commenting on some sensual poetry tonight. For tonight's main topic, Mika and I did run a contest on All Poetry with the prompts that were centered around the topic of cigars and cigar smoking. Quotes, pictures, you know, some of them were sensual and some of them were a little more humorous or just tidbits of wisdom such as life is too short to smoke bad cigars. But we also have carryovers from when we had our Lady in Red Art of Seduction show and a couple other carryovers from an open Art of Seduction show. So definitely looking forward to all of it, and I'm going to go ahead and say, hello, Mika. How's it going?
Hey, Pam. I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
Oh, all in all, pretty good. You know, like I said, looking forward to the poetry, you know, and hanging out with you and other cool poets. You know, obviously the song didn't quite work out as planned, but that's okay. Just means about a minute
and a half. Technical difficulties.
Yeah, exactly. Technical difficulties and all that fun stuff. Exactly. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring a couple of people on. So first of all, we have Laurent. Welcome, Laurent. Glad you could join us.
Bonsoir, madame. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Well, not too bad, all things considered.
Well, good.
Hey, Laurent.
Glad.
Hey, Mika.
Glad to be back. And then we have Kel. Welcome, Kel. Glad you could join us.
Hello, Pam. Hi, Laurent and Mika.
Hey, Kel.
Good to have you here. How's it going?
Better than it was, but it's going. Yeah, we're doing good.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad to hear that. All right. So let's go ahead and get the night started. So. And what asked him if he's smoking a cigar, Robbie? What makes you think those ladies aren't all smoking the cigars? Huh? I think I'm supposed to ask you, Laurent, if you're smoking a cigar.
Am I smoking a cigar currently? No,
yes.
No, I smoke them very occasionally, but not right now.
Yeah, the only time I ever smoked one was at my bachelorette party. Other than that, I never actually have. Yep.
Did it make you dizzy?
No, but the stripper did.
Oh, settle down.
I've never smoked a cigar. Not the big ones anyway. I get the little ones.
Yep, yep. So they come in some good flavors.
Round and round and upside down.
Exactly. All right. Up first, we have Our First Time by TRM. And Kel, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Okay. Oops, where'd it go? Robbie covered it up.
I don't see it.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Okay,
I found it.
Oh,
I found it.
Okay.
I found it, yes. Our First Time by TRM. Your breath, soothing, warming my delicate skin, melting yet cautious of the next action. Similar to a game of chess, you plot your next move gingerly. Must I play for you? I sense equivocation. No fear. Trust me. I reach for your hand. With reservations, you crawlingly touch mine. Reluctant to sensual, beguiling, bright-hued. Unexplainable, I absorb you. I pull you closer, you accept. Our bodies touch. Less than devoid in my mind. Equal to or more than my ideolation. Our eyes articulate, speak their own language, cognizant of your fears, I can feel pain, see hurt, smell want, hear your call, know your need. Desire is deafening. I caress your face, hair, lips with one finger. You kiss my neck, my face, my lips, passionately, keenly. Kisses become longer, carnal. Each touch more, coaxing than the prior. No words spoken, you dim the lights. Lead me to your aqueduct. The sound of our love-making begins. Our first time. And home.
Excellent read. Thank you. And Laurent, can you start us off on this one?
Yeah, there's something special about the first time. And for some people, there are many first times. And what I like is the cautious aspect of the protagonist, who offers to play for the other individual, who evidently is not making the first move, although he's there, but cautious. And he equivocates, and she extends trust. And she, the poet says, reluctance is sensual, and it is, because it's something that's held back, but little by little, she absorbs him, pulling him closer. I like the way this was done, because with each stanza, the action gets a little deeper, the acceptance a little stronger. And then, of course, the sound of our lovemaking begins our first time. I thought it was very well done.
Great comment. I like that part, too, about the reluctance of sensual. And I think the poem did a good job of kind of talking about, like, the chemistry. When you give the stanza that our eyes articulate, speak your own language, cognizant of your fears, I can feel pain, see, hurt, smell, want, hear your call, know your need. I really like that stanza because it really, when you set the air kind of on fire between you, it's not something that actually needs to be spoken, and like that understanding and that chemistry between the two, I think is really well put there. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. You know, there is something really special about that first time. And what I really like about this poem is it has a kind of a gentle sense of reality to it. With the way that the movements are kind of hesitant, and I like the I sense equivocation. No fear, trust me. I reach for your hand with reservation. You crawlingly touch mine, and then also desire is deafening. I caress your face, hair, lips with one finger. You kiss my neck. There's just a real. In the last couple of stanzas, I like how it goes from the whole hesitancy to the idea of being caught up in the moment in a ravaging, carnal type way. So absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Ravaging. I like it. Absolutely. And Kelly, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I really like the sincerity involved in this poem, the hesitation and the tenderness. You know, he's, you know, basically letting her take the lead, you know, and, you know, come to her own conclusion as to what's going to happen. And if she accepts him or not. And then when they do, it's just absolutely awesome, you know, because he allows her that opportunity to show herself, to share herself with him, you know. And it's just really a beautiful poem. Yeah, there's so much that I really enjoyed. Each touch more coaxing than the prior. No words spoken. You dim the lights, lead me to your aqueduct. This is really a very tender poem.
Great comment, Kel. And Tom, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm good.
It's awesome to have you. Did you get to hear that poem?
Oh, yeah. I listened along. I like the tenderness that's there right from the beginning. So that the intimacy, as it's revealed, the trust and the deepening of desire for each other, and finally the plunge in the last several verses, never feels like an attack, never feels like anyone taking advantage of the other, but more as if as their trust deepens and their sense of well-being deepens, they become more available to each other. He does it with, in his descriptions, with nice little things, your breath soothing, warming my delicate skin, melting yet cautious, reluctance is sensual, our bodies touch, less than, devoid in my mind, equal to more than, my ideation. That whole thing of, we're really going to do this, and yet we have to take our time. We have to move slowly and carefully. I just thought it was very, very, I like the tenderness that came across in this, the appreciation, the awakening. I thought that was all really a beautiful part of the whole thing.
Great comment, Tom. And Pam, that's back to you.
All right. Up next, we have I'd Rather Be Your Muse, Not Just a Musing by Linda M.B. And I'll go ahead and give this a read. I want to be your muse. I want to be your scream and not a whisper, a dream that keeps you waking every day, hour, the purest note within your favorite song. I want to be your sweetness and your sour, a hot and spicy pepper on your tongue, the wind that rises up beneath your sails, a dance that makes you crumble when it's done, the story deep within your darkest tales, the anchor dropped to keep you in my port, a dart that hits your bullseye swift and sharp. I want to be your crime of last resort, and every string you pluck upon your harp. End poem.
Excellent read, Pam. I really, really love the passion in this, the craving for intensity. Like, it's not just, oh, you know, we're lovers. It's like, no, I want to be the ride or die, the be-all, end-all. Really well-read and well-written. And what did you think, Kel?
I thought it was a wonderful piece. I want to be your everything, basically. Your muse. I want to hear be your scream, not a whisper. You know, the anchor dropped to keep you in my port, a dart to hit your bullseye. I think some of these metaphors are really fantastic. Every string you pluck upon your harp. This is really, it's a very clever use of words. I really quite liked it.
Absolutely. And what about you, Tom? What'd you think?
Well, I right from the title, I'd Rather Be Your Muse, Not Just Amusing. The sense of, how do I say it, being valued and being seen as being important at the same time. The sense of, I want to participate in your life in a way that your life's enhanced, my life's enhanced, and we create something, you know. A dart that hits your bullseye swift and sharp. I want to be your crime of last resort, and every string you pluck upon your heart. That is a very centering and very tender statement about looking for unity and shared purpose in a very stunning fashion. I thought I was quite taken by this.
Great comment, Tom. And what about you, Laurent?
I like the list of metaphors, like Kel did. I find it a great way of introducing the necessary emotion into each particular stanza. And it's not all good either. I want to be your sweetness and your sour, the story deep within your darkest tales, your crime of last resort, and every string you pluck upon your heart. It talks to the danger, the angel and the devil in all of us, I think. And very enjoyable piece.
Absolutely. And how about you, Pam?
Yeah, I really like the way that she wants to be everything to this person and how she conveys the desire and the sensuality with music and food. And I like how it kind of had a little touch of humor, too, like with a hot and spicy pepper on your tongue. I thought that was a really nice line. And I also like the dream that keeps you waking every hour, the whole idea that you want to be that somebody's obsession that wakes them up in the middle of the night. So excellent writing, very well done.
Totally agree.
Let's see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have Drenching by Blue Harrison. And Nika, would you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Drenching. Little mercies without saying a word, huddled without me. Watching the disbanding of another night, knowing stars starve the dark as you envision that moment you gave me. Your hand, listening, waiting for the silk, felt deep, drenching veins. I try too hard to disregard, stitched pulse, your eyes intent, my heart like a hummingbird, the only music, heavy rain. End poem. And Kel, would you start us off?
Oh, this is a beautiful poem to the prompt. Absolutely gorgeous. There's a lot of anguish in it, though. Stars starve the dark as you envision that moment you gave me. Your hand listening, waiting for the silk. So deep, drenching veins. It's just really deep. Very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, Tam, what about you? What did you think?
I really, really like this one. Blue always has such a unique and creative touch on sensual poetry. And I really like how she starts out with unearthed little mercies without saying a word, huddled without me, watching the disbanding of another night. Those are extremely emotive lines. And I also, the whole thing is just a beautiful brevity, but I also like waiting for the silk felt deep drenching veins. To me, I felt like there was a real sense of passion within those. And then, you know, there was a kind of almost a sense of sadness to this, but to me there was also a sense of longing, a sense of waiting. And I liked how she brought in the music of the heavy rain, which I really felt like set the tone for the atmosphere in the rite. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, I really liked that heavy rain ending as well. I think it's cool because the whole poem was full of really, really beautiful imagery. And I liked the phrases that you called out too, Pam, the unearthed little mercies without saying a word. But all the while that you're like kind of picturing these images, I didn't have any sound to go with him. And in the end, when the heavy rain line comes, I don't know, I feel like it's the perfect ending because it's not the ending of what's happening. It's just the beginning. But that sound coming in at the end was almost cinematic. It was really, really pretty. And what did you think, Laurent?
Well, I enjoyed the implicit silence in this particular piece. There's no speaking of any kind. It's that moment when two people can sit together, perhaps, even a couple that has just started a relationship, but more often found in a long-term relationship when there is no need for words, and yet there is tension in the air at the same time. That last stanza does it. I try too hard to disregard Stitch pulse, your eyes intent, my heart like a hummingbird. Well, we all know how fast a heart or a hummingbird's wings have to beat, so I'm assuming her heart is beating very, very fast, and his eyes are intent. There's something about the moment I think that's fraught, and when all is silent, then the only music is that heavy rain, like you said. That's a great way to end the piece, because you can imagine them sitting quietly, the two of them, and the only sound, not their voices, but that heavy rain, really is well done.
Absolutely. Nice insights. And what about you, Tom? What did you think?
I love the opening with the unearthed little mercies without saying a word, huddled without me, the sense of vulnerability and wanting to really be with someone but not able to connect. And then the watching the disbanding of another night, knowing stars starve the dark. There's somehow in that this further sense of the closer we get, the farther apart we seem to be. And then the breaking down of walls, perhaps, in that as you envision that moment, you gave me your hand, listening, waiting for the silk. All of a sudden, the shift is towards this. We might make it. There might be a possibility here. The next verse has been well talked about, and the hummingbird. I like the tension, because then when you finally drop into that last line, the only music, heavy rain, the sense of all the barriers that have been there before, all the things that have been hoped for and wished for have suddenly been allowed to be revealed in the silence. And when you can be with someone without any nervousness, without the tension, you're really open to hear everything that's there to be heard. And I love that last line, because it says it all. The only music, heavy rain. Beautiful piece.
Yeah, great comment, Tom. And Pam, we're back to you. Where are we going?
All right. Up next, we have Climbing the Stairs by Dmitri Kopitkin, and we have a recording for that one, so I'll go ahead and push play.
Every croaking wooden groan brings us closer to our room, to the sense we've come to know, to share the looks we alone are shown. We settle in, gently and loose, at ease within our hallowed room. We grasp and close upon each other. We sip our lips like liquid fire. Slowly, with breath shallow and taut, my fingertips ride baby hairs. As jawline nips pursue your ears, my palm is warm against your nape. As your shy aching speaks to me, a wanting to be known, a holding wanting to be seized, a needing, wanting to be pleased, a hunger, waiting to be teased. We dance abandon upon our needs, clutching each other for their strength. A pulsing knot of wanton seethes. We ring out joy and hammered beats. As we collapse in gasping heaves, hands clasp to say what lips repeat. Our lips revive, weary but sweet, to soothe a hand or rosy cheek. As eyes dismiss the fading light, a dream of kisses in the night.
Well, that was an excellent recording, Dmitri Kopotkin, and I'm really glad we got to hear that in your voice. And Laurent, can you give us a comment on this one?
Yeah, I think this is actually quite a nice example of a subject that was covered on Richard's show last week, the projectivist poetry where action needs to follow action, everything follows everything else, and the length of the line is no longer than the length of a breath. This particular poem is filled with a lot of sensation, a lot of sensory information. Lips like liquid fire. My fingertips ride baby hairs. My palm is warm against your nape. Listening, all the things that are very relatable to any lovers. And so as you read this, it's a sense of almost a participation, because we've all been there. I thought it was extremely well written and a joy to appreciate.
Excellent comment. And what about you, Kel? What'd you think?
Wow, this is very sensual. I don't know why I said that. It's also full of a knowledge of each other and their wants. Each wants and needs. You know, and that comes with, that knowledge comes with time, you know, so it's, you know, long lovers that, you know, they know each other, they know what each other likes and wants, and they can feel a building within each other, and that's just really an amazing writing. Slowly with breath shallow and taut, my fingertips ride baby hairs. This is really, really emotive and a lovely write. And I agree with Lawrence, too, that it just, you know, the progression is really, really beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. Great comment. And Tom, what about you? What did you think?
I was really taken by how this both felt like an early time in a relationship and a late time in a relationship, because of the way they gather themselves together, are vulnerable right from the start, and yet there's a need that speaks so much of the early part of the relationship, a wanting to be known, a holding, wanting to be seen, a needing, wanting to be pleased, a hunger waiting to be teased. That to me just speaks so much of an intimacy being discovered and almost like a revelation, as that the passion and the neediness suddenly hits and we dance abandon upon our needs, clutching each other for strength. And, you know, the revelation, and yet the trust enough to be able to sort of pour yourself into each other. So this becomes more than just an expression of sex. In fact, the sex sounds so secondary, but the touching is so primary. And the tenderness becomes its own language And I think that, you know, this is expressed beautifully throughout this entire piece. So you come away feeling almost honored to have it shared with you. Really beautifully done.
Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I really liked his read of it. I thought he kept it a nice slow pace that really fit with the tone of the poem. It has a really nice rhythm and flow to it. And I like how it's about sharing those intimate moments. And I like the line, we sip our lips like liquid fire, soy with the shell and taut. And, I also like how it has the line, a needing wanting to be pleased, a hunger waiting to be teased. There's a real sense of giving back and forth in this fight. And I think it's beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. I was drawn to that same section, Pam. But also, as your shy aching speaks to me, I really like that. Because it's almost like it's a good portrayal of how the anticipation really is almost being savored, like a wine. We sip our lips like liquid fire was another line that reminded me of that. But it's just the whole poem is a savoring of the moment in which the anticipation reaches its height. Excellent poem. And where are we going next, Pam?
Well, first of all, that was a great comment. I like the way you call it a savoring of the moment. And before we move on to the next poem, I'm going to go ahead and bring Catherine on. So welcome, Catherine. Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you, Pam. Thank you. I only have a few minutes because I have a call coming in at 8 o'clock. I'm sorry I'm late, and I'm sorry I have to leave so quickly. But I have a poem on. I didn't know if you guys had already read it or not, but to read it.
All right. We're going to go ahead and move forward. And Laurent, I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. From my AN, this poem may not be suitable for all genders. Apologies are tendered for the shallowness of the protagonist. And this is called Old Friends. Awful-eyed and snaggle-toothed, unfortunately hot, svelte, built, cascading hair to an ass of perfect hemispherical proportions, but one eye wandered, independent of its mate, looking everywhere and nowhere. Teeth did the same. Scare your average Joe six-pack. Is there a shade between hope and fantasy to describe the sheen of her splendid breasts beneath the near transparency she called clothing? Scotch, a double, please. And time for Arturo House Fuentes. Compliments the scotch. I call the combination courage, a will to approach, to scale, to conquer, if for an evening only. Cigar leading the way, scotch in reserve, I made my way with lowered gaze. One more sip, well, two, as I caught her eye. It drifted past, then returned, holding position. She smiled. Low lighting concealed my blanch. Nod to the barman. More of that, please. George, I croaked in her direction. Josephine, her name spoken, bell-like tones escaped her full red lips. Massive attitudinal shift occurs in the male cortex. Buy you a drink? I asked almost eagerly. She ordered in French. Perfect pronunciation. D'amour, s'il vous plaît, monsieur. God, awful expensive taste she had. Jesus. But I could play Napoleon to her Josephine, at least this once. Besides, her features normalized with time. It's not like I'm a prize, either. In short order, she shot her scotch, nipped my Arturo, full lips embracing my tip, its tip, excuse, sucking slowly, blowing smoke rings I wore like a silver halo. Time for a religious experience. I didn't live far. So we walked, arm in arm, like we knew each other. Old friends. End poem.
That was a great read, Laura. I like your warning in the beginning. I'm going to throw it to Catherine. Catherine, what did you think?
It's very humorous, too. I liked the humor of it, especially Cigar leading the way. That was humorous, but I liked the double entendres throughout. And I also liked the way you placed some of the lines, you know, and it gave it an interesting kind of a subtle hint that he was a little inebriated. And, you know, he was caught off guard, you know. So I thought it was humorous, and I wasn't offended by it at all. I read it before the show started, and I thought it was very cute.
Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Great job, Catherine. And what did you think, Kel?
I thought it was a very clever use of words, and I lost it. There it is. I really loved the way you described this woman, awful-eyed and snaggletooth, unfortunately hot, well-built. Wow. And she seemed to get better looking with time, so that's a plus. Or could that have been the Scott? So this is a really, really amusing poem. And like Catherine, I like the double entendres. It's just really, really well done. It's very humorous. Good job.
Thank you, dear.
I thought it was humorous, too. I especially in the descriptions in the beginning that Kel was going over. I don't know. It seems kind of like the ultimate poetic rendition of the Butterface. So I kind of liked it. I don't know. It's something that is true to life in our culture, I think. So, yeah, I thought there was, like, a good note of humor, especially in the beginning. But in the end, there's something quite, I guess I don't know what word to use to describe it. I'm just going to say it's very human. So we walked arm in arm like we knew each other, old friends. I really like that because there was all this kind of hemming and hawing, the battle between the male cortex shift of, lust versus pride, I guess I would say. But then in the end, it's not about, in the end, it's, you know, you never get to the scene where they get to his place. And so we walked arm in arm like we knew each other, old friends. It's something different than that. It's like the comfort that you get from someone that's so unrelated to what they actually look like and what people would think if they saw you with them. So I like that. I thought it was very, very human. And I wish I could think of a different adjective. That's what's coming to mind. And what about you, Pam?
Yeah, I really like this. I like, first of all, I felt like it kind of had a noir feel to it. I like that you brought in the scotch as well as the cigar. And there's a really a lot of great lines in this. I especially like god-awful expensive taste she had, Jesus. You know, how you have those double entendres was just near the end was really nice. And I also really like the line, time for a religious experience. I thought that was a great line. And I do like how there never is really, there's the assumption that they made it home, you know, back to his place and that something happened besides scotch and cigars. But I like that you leave it up to the reader's imagination. Just absolutely a clever write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Excellent comment, Pam. And what about you, Tom?
Well, I there are a whole lot of different things that I see playing in here. I mean, the opening reminds me too much of Ben Franklin's comment to a young man about date older women because when they swell, they don't tell. Besides, when you put a bag over their head, you can't tell the difference between them and a young woman. And that's an exact quote, by the way, from one of his letters. And that's sort of what the opening reminded me of, was that particular quote. And yet there's this game that goes on in both double innuendos and in things like the double scotch. She orders the truly expensive stuff, which deepens his appreciation rather than puts him off. So they play this game back and forth where they end up in a heightened level of respect while at the same time playing the game for all that it's worth, so that when you finally get past all the clever wording to the part where they're walking home, though I do like the smoke rings that he wore like a silver halo, arm in arm, like we knew each other, old friends, just speak to the fact that they have settled to a place of comfort that truly a great many people who've known each other for a long time never reach. And in that sense, it finishes on a truly beautiful note, because to reach that point is truly a gift.
Thank you, Tom.
Great comment, Tom. And Pam, where are we going next?
All right, Catherine, I have your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please. Catherine, are you on mute?
Yes, I was. My apologies.
No problem.
Okay. Venus de Milo. Her alabaster beauty has erotic charm, an elegance and a mystery which she uses to your harm. She is lithe and subtle, attracts men in swarms, but she has a heart of marble, so you'd best stay calm. She taunts you, and she haunts you. She will make alarms, but she cannot hold you because she has no arms. End poem.
Great read, Catherine, and great write. And I'm sorry, Laurent, can you start us off on this one?
Yeah, this has the shape of a Venus without arms. I'm sure we've all seen it. It's a pretty famous statue. And Catherine, you've done great work here. When you say she is lithe and supple, attracts men in swarms, but she has a heart of marble, so you'd best stay calm. She taunts you and she haunts you. And then to finish it with a, because she has no arms, I thought it was just one of those little well-placed strokes of writing that really, really work. Charming piece.
Thank you. Love. Appreciate that.
Great comment, Laurent. And what about you, Tom?
I first of all, I really enjoy the concrete poetry part of this, where she shaped the poem like a statue and given the base all those hearts, because it fits so nicely with the descriptions, where she could be just describing the statue, because the statue itself is of stunning beauty. But you soon feel that perhaps she's just talking about a woman who would drive you crazy, and then she very cunningly drops in that last piece, because she has no arms. I thought the whole thing was not only just well written, but had such a nice seductive edge in the way that it was formed and shaped, and the way the words played through, that it ended up just being delightful.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. That was a
lovely comment, Tom.
And Laurent,
Ken, what did you think?
Did you say Kel?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay, sorry, I'm getting this crackle. I don't know where it's coming from. I like the references to alabaster and marble, which is what she is made of. It's just really awesome the way you put that in. What was that? Yeah, she has a heart of marble, so you'd best stay calm. She taunts you and haunts you. She will make alarms, but she cannot hold you because she has no arms. Like Laurent, I really enjoyed the structure of your poem, because it looks like it could be the Venus de Milo. And it's a very clever little write. It's got a little bit of amusement to it, and it's very cleverly done. Well, yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Jill. Thank
very
you.
Welcome, Seth.
Nice comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, this is a really nice shaped poem, and I have to agree with Kel. I too like the reference to alabaster and marble, and I like how you kind of have that little twist at the end that adds a dash of humor to the right. So just really nicely done.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right.
Great.
And sorry.
Oh, my mom has called me, so she's 88. She needs me now, so I gotta go. But thank you, guys. I appreciate you all.
All right. Good night, Catherine. Thank you for calling in.
Good night.
All right. And Tom, I've put your write up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please. Are you on mute, Tom? Or did you accidentally?
Yes, I was coughing a whole lot, so I put it on mute and I forgot that. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back.
A smoke. There is something about a tobacco shop. It is so earthy and full of character, redolent with the promise of men and charm. She had a way of holding my arm, immediately made me straighten my spine, pat my pocket for a cigar, think grand thoughts of all the possibilities life holds. There is magic in the right touch. In the evenings when lamps are still, in the evenings when lamps were still low, along with the sun, dinner, a pat on the stomach, the bourbon poured, the ice cube growing small, out comes the cigar. The smoke deepens pleasure. She slips onto the arm of my chair, steals my cigar, makes as if she will smoke it all herself, laughs, and returns it with a kiss that kindles its own fire. I can only study the ash and smile. There is a magic she creates. When the shadows lengthen, I have laid down my pen, think of the drink, the cigar, most of all, the woman. I step out on the porch, watch the moon sail, relight the last half of this day's cigar. Her fingers creep over my shoulders. Her breath tingles my neck. I remember the promise of dessert. I blow a smoke ring that circles the moon. She bites my ear and whispers some mystery I know I shall have to explore with tender wisdom. The respite of the cigar over. The scents, lavender and a touch of jasmine, creep above the dusky layers of smoke. I put out the cigar as I realize I am more than ready. Let the next adventure begin. End poem.
That was a beautiful poem, Tom. An excellent read. I think my favorite aspect to this write is just how you paint the portrait of the woman. It part when she steals the cigar, makes this, she will smoke it all herself, laughs and returns it with a kiss that kindles its own fire. I really, really like that. This sort of mischievous nature that she has, the playfulness that really, really doubles the sensuality. And I don't know, I think there's one other write that I said was cinematic earlier, but I think that all of this kind of, the way that you picture it while you read, it's very, very visual. And I really like that as well. And what did you think of it, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. I really like the visual elements of this poem. And the great opening line, she had a way of holding my arm, immediately made me straighten my spine. You know, and then there is a magic she creates when the shadows lengthen. I have laid down my pen, think of the drink, the cigar, most of all, the woman. I like how you bring us into this whole idea of how the character is enraptured by all those pleasures of life. And then there's still a wonderful ending where you say, as I realize I am more than ready, let the next adventure begin. I like how you wrap it up in a way that shows us that this isn't a love that's like, you know, like a couple short puffs and a quick drink and every. This is something where they move forward together in new adventures. So just a wonderful write with kind of almost a tender feel to it and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. I really agree with the tender feel. Nice comment. And what about you, Laurent?
I enjoyed this a great deal. The beginning with the tobacco shop, earthy and full of character, redolent with the promise of men and charm. If you haven't been inside a real tobacco shop with very expensive tobaccos lined up on the wall and large glass jars, all manner of fancy cigars, all manner of pipes and smoking equipment, and then the smells, they're so diverse, they're so rich. And to begin with that allows us to see that the cigar really is going to be almost the protagonist in this particular poem, yet it's done subtly. There aren't constant mentions of, you know, lighting the cigar, holding the cigar, etc. Rather, those actions are woven into the story of the moment. The way things happen, have my pocket for a cigar. Now, you don't say you light it at any point, which I like. But then the bourbon poured, the ice cube growing small, out comes the cigar, the smoke deepens pleasure. Once again, what effect does the smoke have on the moment? And everywhere through there, she makes as if she'll smoke it herself. I've laid down my pen, think of the drink, the cigar, and then the relighting of the cigar as he watches the moon sail the night sky, and then the reintroduction of the lover, her fingers creeping over the shoulders, but then again back to the cigar, but again fairly subtly, blowing a smoke ring that circles the moon. And all the way through here, he does that. The cigar, it's not a ceremony, but it colors the moment so well. It adds to the pleasure of the protagonist. And the respite of the cigar over, I thought, was nicely phrased, because while the cigar is being smoked, that's the essential of the moment. But when it's gone, now we have the sense of lavender and a touch of jasmine, and the lady takes over, so to speak. You know, he puts out the cigar, ready for the next adventure. I just like the way you wove the entire story and related the experience so well with great language.
Oh, thank you, Laurent. You know, I opened with all the scents. I figured I should finish with all the scents as well.
Excellent comment, Laurent. And what about you, Kel?
Well, first of all, the mention of the tobacco shop, it took me way back. I've never been in a real tobacco shop, but it reminded me of my dad because he used to smoke a pipe. And it brought back memories of the cherry tobacco he used. And it's just, wow, that's my dad. I love that. But the whole thing, all the way through, it has a sensuality to it. Not just with the woman, but it's mostly about the woman, which it should be. But it's also about the cigar and the pleasure he gets from that. It's the bourbon, which he gets pleasure from that. It's just so many things building up between the woman, the cigar, his dinner, the bourbon, and it just all builds up into this awesome sensual scene, and it's just very beautiful and very well done, extremely visual. You know, it just, I could watch it in my mind's eye all the way through it. It's just really well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Kel. And Pam, where are we going next?
All right, Cal, your poem is up next. Go ahead, give it a read for us, please.
Well, good, I'm already off mute. Undercover of Smoke by Kel Smiles. Finally, this case is over. Fini, done, with a completely satisfying finish. Relieved you wouldn't have to be alone with that old broad, crazy tarnished demands for retribution ever again. He poured a hefty glass of bourbon over a few cubes of ice swirling in the bottom, sniffed in bitter aroma before taking a deep, healthy swig. Damn, he needed that. He poured more. Raises a fat Cuban cigar between his fingers to his crooked nose, broken too many times to be anything else, but it only added character to an otherwise ruggedly handsome, flawed persona. Took a sip of his bourbon, savoring bitter flavor, then clipped a Havana before Leo lighting up, smelling the sweet smoke, dragging deep in reflection of the completed case file on the desk. Scarred pines, sturdy for his purpose, coat rack in the corner mismatched, where he now adeptly tosses a fedora, run-down leather shoes on the desk, settling in to relax with drink and cigar. As acrid smoke floated to the ceiling, he ponders the last 2 weeks' case. The woman who hired him to follow her husband thought he was cheating, which he was, but not with a woman. He couldn't blame the husband for seeking comfort from another source, considering the bitch he had married, with her stuck-up nose in which he spoke through her thin upper lips. Blue-haired, scrawny woman who had strange ideas and even stranger tastes. He puffed his cigar, swallowed smoky bourbon, savoring both with relish. Putting on his trench coat and fedora, strode out of the rundown building to the gleaming Packard parked on the corner with the tip of his Havana's glow, unlocked the car, more than ready to set the case aside and go home. End poem.
Great read, Kel. Go ahead, Tom. You ready to start?
It has a really nice noir feel to it, you know, with the old Pulp Fiction overtones about the broken nose and everything else like that. You really set it up really nicely and tell a great story, but leave enough unanswered questions to keep the mystery going all the way through to the end. I thought it was really well done. It's the kind of thing that Sam Snead and other writers of Pulp Fiction would have truly enjoyed. Well done.
Thank you, Tom. Nice comment, Tom. And what about you, Laurent?
It's a great piece, Kel. I really like what you did with this, because, you know, you got to present a story, and it works so well when you have the protagonist referring to, especially in this case as a detective, the completed case file, which sits on his desk. And he doesn't get into it too deeply, except for describing the wife and the husband's affair. I wonder whether or not he's actually going to tell the blue-haired bitch exactly what he found out, or whether he's going to perhaps change the ending a little bit. I don't know. You've got some nice wording in through here that really speaks to that noir feel, the fedora, the rundown leather shoes. So many people don't wear leather shoes anymore. It's amazing. Find a pair of decent dress shoes anymore. It had a nice touch to it, the trench coat, as I said before, the fedora, the Packard, the fat Cuban, all those little verbal cues that really helped. And there is a little bit of humor in this as well, kind of sardonic and perhaps a little bit, but very well done, my dear.
Thank you. I was actually going to add to it, and then I didn't. I forgot what I was going to add to it.
Good.
I wasn't,
I was going to say that you should write novels, Kel. This really reads like a scene from a novel, like these guys have said, like a noir novel. I really like that. You have a real gift for building an atmosphere. So I enjoyed it. And what about you, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This does read like a scene from a novel, and you definitely do have a gift for storytelling, for creating characters. And like Lawrence said, it does have that noir feel. And I like how you bring so many different elements from the picture into the story. And that you've got great attention to detail, like you poured a hefty glass of bourbon over a few cubes of ice swirling in the bottom, sniffed in bitter aroma. And the kind of little bit of humor in there, and the strode out of the run-down building to the gleaming Packard parked in the corner. As was mentioned, you create an atmosphere, and you bring us like into the story, and it's wonderful on its own, but it leaves the reader wanting more, and I think that's a really nice touch. So very well done.
Thank you very much, everyone.
All right, Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Up next, we're going to go back to the Lady in Red carryovers, and I have Wicked Allure Part 1 by Mr. M, and we have a recording for that, so here we go.
This is my recital of Wicked Allure. Sprawled across my bed, I lay there with mind and heart racing. Willpower loses dominion as hands wander, finding warm vibrations in their venture. Thinking of you, the devilish ashen temptation laced in red. You, the enchanting, devouring temptress, ever alluring, ever insatiable. While I ready myself with my breath heavy and eyes glazed, you climb upon me with lips of the devil's hue, teasing me with erotic motion. I can take no more. I rise upward swiftly, switching to a more dominant position. Your hands pinned as I take in your smell, tracing lips and curves with nibbles and kisses. I make my way downward. Each lick and kiss dances upon poised flesh, igniting the fluidity of passion that now flows freely upon heated skin. I slide your garments down and prepare to delve into your realm of desire. I place each leg over my shoulder so you can squirm all that you like, but my tongue shows no mercy.
Ow, ow. Sorry for that outburst. Okay. Tom, can you start us off?
He sets up a really nice bedroom scene, and the picture is thinking of you, the devilish ashen temptation laced in red, you, the enchanting, devouring temptress, ever alluring, ever insatiable. And then the way he goes from making it sound as if he's just going to lay there and dream to turning it into a reality and making it become a wonderful description of his own fulfillment that he doesn't finish. He ends with "to be continued." It's a heck of a tease. and fits well with the title, Lick It All Over, Part 1. Well done.
Great comment. And what about you, Kel?
Oh, my gosh, this is hot. Oh, my God. At first, you think he's just dreaming, thinking about her, you know, and while I ready myself with my breath heavy and eyes glazed, you gaze climb upon me. It becomes real, and it just really heats up from there, and then to be continued. What? It's very sensual. It's sexual, sexy, and leaves you wanting more. Although I don't know if I can handle more. Well then.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you, Laurent?
Let me say that I think it's very well written. Robert normally writes very very dark poems that sometimes just don't see the light of day in them. There is a darkness, there is a feeling of despair, of abandonment in so many of his pieces. And this one, wow, it is extremely sensual. I mean, I love this stanza. I make my way downward. Each lick and kiss dances upon poised flesh, igniting the fluidity of passion that now flows freely upon heated skin. But there's an acknowledgement of the pleasure gained. There's no acknowledgement of joy, of happiness. There's an acknowledgement of the sensation, of sex, of being dominated, if that's what you like. But I don't see any laughter. I don't see any gentleness. And that's on purpose, of course, because that's the way that he writes. And I often wondered if his erotic poetry was different, dramatically different, from his normal poetry. But I see that it's not really. But I like what I see. I like what I read. I think he did a great job with it.
Absolutely. And what about you, Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was really nicely done. I like how it has a raw sensuality to it. I really like the lines, thinking of you, the devilish passion, temptation laced in red. And I like how he puts the line, I can take no more separate, so that it kind of leads into the section where things start to become more passionate. So just a wonderful sensual write and very well done.
Yeah, definitely. You guys, I really liked all your comments. This one was really a good sensual write. Definitely, like, the read was really cool, too. I really like that so many people are giving us their poems in their own words. And this one, especially in the ending, "But My Tongue Shows No Mercy," was really hot. So beautifully done. And Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Up next, we have "Cigar Smoke Reflection" by Sapphire Rose. And we have a recording for that. So here we go.
"Cigar Smoke Reflection" by Sapphire Rose. There I was, sitting with a bourbon mute and a Cuban burning in the ashtray. Jazz penetrating through Village Vanguard. The 1960s crowd waft across my observation. The purest form of distraction for a man on the verge of falling into cosmic deja vu. I thought time well spent was indulging in the pleasure of you by my side. Whispers in your ear, soft caresses upon your flushed cheeks. Adrift, in consummating the metaphor of love and life. As I gaze into the cigar smoke burning nearby, reflecting on your perfect delineation, dancing in dim candlelight, your swaying form set the mood, oh, so right. Your transfixing smoky image fetters me to you in the here and now, wishing you were the one by my side, placing the cube in between my teeth, the taste of masculine and bourbon meat. Your kittenish smile, which is my breath, lost in the firm of the bourbon and the dark, full-bodied, woody flavor of a gentleman's niche. Lips and taste tips, inhaling the boldness until the ash descends into the ashtray. Just before the bourbon devours me, know that your touch lit me up in the darkest of hues, taking me to the threshold of what once was. I see with crystal transparency infinite truths as the memory of you dances in the cigar smoke. I'm home.
Oh man, that was such a cool read. I really like the background music as well. It's so cool that so many of these poems, I feel like I didn't do this on purpose, but I've been watching The Sopranos. and so many of these poems are like really truly taking me to like full scenes. Like it's just incredible people's talent to write in the way that transports you straight to that scene. And I like that this poem is written kind of as a flashback. So you get taken to like this this gritty memory of the club, the cigar, the woman's body moving. And then in the end you get the hint that it's not happening in this time. It's the memory that dances in cigar smoke. Through the mist of long years, and it's still just as vibrant when you go to the beginning and read through it. It's something that has stayed with the person. I thought it was really cool, and also just it very very visual. And what did you think of it, Laurent?
I really enjoyed the entire piece. A couple of stanzas I really liked. Lost in the burn of the bourbon and the dark, full-bodied, woodsy flavor of a gentleman's niche. And the next one, lips encased tip, inhaling the boldness until the ash descends into the ashtray just before the bourbon devours me. I like it because they reflect the main theme of the poem, but they also add a lot of texture and flavor to everything else that's going on. And those closing lines, the crystal transparency, infinite truths, as the memory of you dances in the cigar smoke, you know, that's the memory, the memory is the reflection of the thought expressed in the poem. So it's a very nice way to close it up. Great job.
Absolutely. And what about you, Pam?
I really like this, and you know, one of the things I've really liked about how people have responded to this particular prompt is that it has really inspired people to write story-style poetry that brings us into like a certain time, a certain place. On a technical level, the balance of her reading and the background music was just spot on. You know, I like that. The imagery in this, your transfixing smoky image fetters me to you in the here and now, wishing you were the one by my side, placing the cube in between my teeth, a taste of masculine and bourbon meat, your kittenish smile hitches my breath. You know, there's just really some wonderful lines all the way through, but that was one part that really just grabbed my attention. So beautiful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And what about you, Tom?
Well, I've been to Billy's Vanguard and seen some great jazz. And I was just thinking about the fact, you know, you don't get smoke in the rooms anymore. And you can't smell the different cigars that are being lit up in the back part of the room. On top of the thin cigarette smoke. But in any case, I think this is amazing how much we still remember all that, because she brings forward so beautifully in the memory the way the cigar smoke plays into the whole thing and becomes part of the dream, and the ash becomes part of the memory and the way it is now past. I just think it's incredibly rich and woody, and definitely, you know, she sets it up and uses that. There's a mix of the bourbon and the cigar nicely to just sort of tell the story about, and yet have it be just as tenuous as the smoke is being blown away. That's really nice.
Absolutely. And what about you, Kel?
I really like this. I love the way the jazz music and the cigar and the bourbon and everything brings her. I think it's meant to be a masculine, but all in all, it brings the writer into a reflective mood. And sometimes, you know, I can see that. You know, he's just sitting there, you know, enjoying the different flavors and the taste and the music and everything. And you get, you know, it's pensive, very pensive. Reflecting on your perfect delineation, dancing in dim candlelight, your swaying form set the mood, oh, so light. I love that. It's just a really sweet line. And then I like the kitten's smile hitches my breath. But all the way through it is just a gentle reflection, and brought on by the music and the alcohol and the cigar. It is really beautiful.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, it's back to you.
All right. And up next we have Orgasmic Puff by Poetic Picasso. And we have a recording for that one, so here we go.
A sultry night of jazz is the precursor to an enjoyable foreplay of escapade. The untamed seduction of a vixen burning with hot coils of desire to undress the raw bundle of dry leaves in fermented tobacco as the bursting passion is unleashed by the tip of the touch of a Cuban cigar. A sexy puff in exotic scent of its folded crisp of sizzling sensuality. A firm double corona, elongated and slender to smoke its exotic art. An intense flavor of spice remaining within the taste buds of a woman, satisfying her addiction for more. Delighted with its stunning size. Her Latin lover holds the cigar as she smokes deeply its craving curls until the tempting tobacco reaches the back of her yearning mouth, staring into his naked buttocks with the excitement of another puff until she grabs onto the edge of the cigar with her two fingers. Then, the impassioned lover inhales the strong smell of the ignited cigar, and she presses her lips against the smooth surface of its texture. As the cigar becomes drenched in the wet moisture of those lips, the final orgasmic puff of erotic midnight pleasures of taboos. El puro es el placer de la mujer, y verla fumar es el placer del hombre. Una fuerte adicción entre dos amantes, quemándose en las cenizas de la pasión. The cigar is the pleasure of a woman, in seeing her smoke is the pleasure of man, a strong addiction. Between two lovers, burning in the ashes of passion. End of poem.
All right. Excellent read, Frank. Thanks for the recording. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you want to know what I think. Ooh, do tell. You almost get the impression that it's talking about a little bit more than a cigar. You know, just it's so erotic and sexy that, you know, it's I'm baffled. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's sexy. It's Frank. Well done.
Absolutely. And Pam, what about you?
Well, I have to say, first of all, that I really appreciate the recordings that have been provided tonight. And I do want to offer up a friendly reminder to everyone that if you write for our shows and you can't call in, then the recordings are the next best thing, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And I do like the sensuality of the and the double entendres within this, and how they're I really like how the lines, then the impassioned lover inhales the strong smell of the ignited cigar, and she presses her lips against the smooth surface of its textures. I like that he brings scent and texture into there, and even, you know, like uses the curling of the smoke as part of the imagery within the rite. He makes, taking a puff of a cigar a wonderful intimate act between lovers, and beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, I think he definitely spoke well to the prompt and pulled a lot of sensuality in. So great job, Frank. And where are we going next, Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Petra by Manuel, and I'll go ahead and give this one a read. Under the hot sun, amidst tobacco plants, she bends down, pliant, harvesting green gold. Calloused hands clean the leaves, then dry them, the bundles rasping as they are tied together. Then dainty hands get the dried leaves to roll them over and over again. She hums as she works, a tobacco set at the corner of her lips, all the while rolling on and on. In the morning, she sweats in the humid air of the farm. At night, she crawls up to you, scantily clad on the bed. As she reaches you, she hands you a cigar, one that she made for you, the boss. The aroma is exquisite, reminding you of the old hacienda in the province, the warm days and the cool nights. She comes again closer. She smells of the sun and of tobacco leaves and tobacco smoke. She pulls off her hairband, and her locks tumble in a raven cascade, smelling of Caliucci. Her hands are warm on your broad chest, her caress burning brands across your skin, her lips moist to the touch, meets with yours, causing you to combust from the inside out. It was then you wrapped your strong arms around her, covering her mouth with yours, inhaling her soul to exchange your own. The cigar lies forgotten in the ashtray, while each touch burns like living flames. From a single spark to a raging inferno, you consume your souls together in the pyres of passion. Slowly the fire banks until they are just smoldering embers, faint and warm. You share the cigar. It tastes like her. It tastes like you. It tastes like Ken Poem.
Beautiful read, Pam, and what an amazing write, Manya. I really, really like the scene where she touches him and he has to set the cigar down. And her, when she pulls off her hairband, her hair tumbles down. I think there's such a beautiful theatrical nature to that that section there. And I like the reveal and the overtaking of the passion. And then Manya does a masterful job of tying it back into the taste of the cigar and the scent of the cigar. So I thought it was really, really well done. And what did you think, Kel?
Oh, I thought it was awesome the way she wrote in the beginning about picking the tobacco plants and then bundling them together, and she makes the cigar, you know, and it's just the whole process before she comes to him. And it's just really amazing. And then, you know, the scent in the morning she sweats in the humid air of the farm, and night she crawls up to you scantily clad on the bed. It's just really amazing the way she added the cigar to the beginning and then the very end, but it's not there in the center when they're making love. And it's just really beautifully done, and the way she adds all that into it, it's gorgeous. And I like that part where she brings her hair down too. It's really sexy.
Absolutely. Great comment, Kel. And what about you, Pam?
Well, first of all, I really liked how she did the second person narrative. Wonderful storytelling. And I like that she doesn't go immediately into the obvious sensuality, but rather there's almost a sensuality in the way she moves as she's working in the field, the way she holds the tobacco in her mouth, and then builds up to the passion of the lovers in bed together and the forgotten cigar. And I thought the way she lingered off at the end was a really nice touch that added to the strength of the poem. This is just absolutely beautiful and seductive and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And excellent write, Manuel. Anna, where are we going next?
All right. I'm going to go back to a write from Lady in Red. And up next, we have Honolulu Narratives and Cherry Pips by Mandy42. And Mika, would you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. I'd be honored to. Honolulu Narratives and Cherry Pips by Mandy42. It's a Mai Tai sunset, a blood-red seascape, and it tastes like maraschino cherry, with a slice of pineapple, crushing ice, frosted fingers on mine. It's our first time together. We're lost in the salt and pepper sand, sampling the breeze with butterfish, just you and me. You smooth my red dress, and you're all about the color. And me? I wonder how anyone could look better in blue jeans than you. The waves are calm when we circle each other, tropical fish sharing narratives in the 10 p.m. surf. Water laps on bikini straps, stars lull, makeshift knots. It's fluent French in tongues. It's a hot Honolulu moon. Barefoot, we print back to that huge bed, crisp linen, a centerpiece to the fruit platters. You pick a cherry and break it on your teeth. Ruby stain on an artist. Kiss. It's so sweet, you promise, tearing the pip. Your eyes fixed for a midnight sugar rush, and I tell you how much I'd like a taste. Stubble rough on blush. You oblige with your mouth, beloved cherry. A bronze palm you arch above, kissing rosewater pools on every curve of my cream island S's. End poem. Oh, Pam, will you start us off on this one?
Absolutely. I really enjoy Mandy's central writing. In fact, she had gotten silver in this contest. I really like the first-person narrative and how she wonderful attention detail. Like, she doesn't just mention the red dress, but she throws in, "And me, I wonder how anyone could look better in blue jeans than you." I thought that was a really nice touch. And I really like Barefoot. We print back to the huge bed, crisp linen, a centipede, the fruit platters. You pick a cherry and break it in your teeth. Wonderful use of food within sensuality. And I also really like, and I tell you how much I'd like a taste, double rough on blush, you oblige with your mouth, beloved cherry, a bronze palm. You know, just she has such wonderful use of imagery and lines that create emotion and then show you a very sensual moment, a very almost, you feel like you're looking in at a personal moment of two people whose eyes and time is only for each other. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. I totally agree with you. There's something about Mandy's dance with words that she does where, like, it doesn't even matter. I think it doesn't matter if she makes it linear, if it's telling, like, a linear story, because every word that she uses seems to be so well chosen that it evokes in your mind so well the story that's happening, the taste, the smells, the sensations, the surf at 10 p.m. Like, there's so much that's evoked in very sparing words. Not that the poem is short, but just that there's nothing unnecessary. There's no words that are superfluous. And every word kind of takes you to a different sensation. And I really think that her poems are just, it's like being thrown into the surf yourself, a surf of flavors and smells and sights. It's really cool. I think she's very, very talented. And what do you think, Kel?
Oh, golly, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. It's a Mai Tai sunset, a blood-red seascape, and it tasted like maraschino cherry with a slice of pineapple crushing ice, frosted fingers on line. Wow, this writing is so articulate, and she says so much, and like you said, every stanza speaks for itself. The waves are calm when we circle each other. Tropical fish, and there's a sensuality throughout all of it, but it's not just the act of the lovers. It's the scenery and the way she describes everything. It's just absolutely beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. comment, Kel. And Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Up next, we have Seductive Fire by Betty Page. And Kel, will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Seductive Fire by Betty Page. Seductive Fire, Cognac Desires, Cinnamon Acrobat's Fire, Naked Seduction. Tilted, tipping slow, sultry, swirling, cigar smoke, addictive fine taste. Alluring intrigue, gymnastics in her bedroom, silky, glistening, rose pink, soft, sweet lips, upside down curves, spiked high heels, exotic eros, piercing both lovers, tainted arrows, such a blaze, entwined, twisted hearts, and home.
Oh, great read. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I have to say, gymnastics in the bedroom, that sounds pretty fun to me. You know, I just really like Betty's straightforward sensuality and how she keeps them in these short lines and imagery that really brings to life the sense of desire. Tilted, tipping, slow, sultry, swirling, cigar smoke, addictive, fine taste. This has wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially was drawn to that section. And so just a beautiful, sensual write and very well done.
Absolutely. I just have to say I really like the mixture of the cinnamon with the cigar imagery. I don't know, those flavor combinations are working for me. And
I
what
have
did
to
you
agree.
Think, Kel? Right? What did you think, Kel?
Oh, it was... This one is kind of elusive to me. I don't know why. But I can appreciate the gymnastics in the bedroom. That sounds like a lot of fun. I liked rose pink, soft, sweet lips, upside down curves, spiked high heels, exotic arrows. I thought that this had a really sexy sound to it. Piercing both lovers, tainted arrows set ablaze, entwined, twisted hearts. It's just really well done. But for some reason, it's just kind of elusive. Maybe it's supposed to be. I don't know. Because, you know, cigar smoke, right? It's elusive. Beautiful.
What comment, Kel? And where are we going next, Pam?
All right. Up next, we have Cigars and Bourbon for Two by Beatnik. And it goes like this. Let's go to the den after dinner and sit in lean-back chairs. We'll enjoy a glass in front of the fire. Bourbon and cigars we'll share. Let the room fill with the scent of sweet smoke as we drink and laugh tonight. Let the liquor play us in the mood for games adults play at night. Have another drink or smoke. Get loose and say what's on your mind. Let me know what you want, as on this day we imbibe. Let's shed our inhibitions and our clothes as we kiss breathlessly and help each other disrobe. We'll fall into bed intoxicated by desire, our lovemaking like a blazing fire.
Excellent read, Pam. I really like the rhythm of this. The rhyme scheme really worked. And also, it's just so classy with the wingback chairs, the bourbon and cigars. I think that was one of the funnest parts of this show, really, is that there was so much noir sensibility and so much, like, classiness that's brought about with the cigars. I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. And how about you, Kel? What did you think?
I thought it was fun, too. Let's go to the den after dinner. We'll just share some time, you know, have a bourbon and a cigar, you know, laugh and joke, let the liquor find us in the mood for games adults play at night. Have another drink or smoke. Let loose and say what's on your mind. Let me know you want me on this day we imbibe. You know, it's just really, it has a sensuality to it, but it's also rather playful. And, you know, so it's like just, let's loosen up and then go have some fun. It's really nice. I like it.
Me too. And Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one, too. I really like how it came across as someone inviting their significant other to share this moment together, to share the drinks, to, you know, imbibe in the smoke and the bourbon, and then imbibe in each other. You know, I really liked the let's shed our inhibitions and the clothes as we kiss breathlessly and help each other disrobe. Just a wonderful rite all the way through and very well done.
Absolutely. A lot of great rites tonight. And where are we off to next, Pam?
All right. I'm going to go with a short one because I don't have a whole lot of time left. So up next, we have Cigar Smokers by R.G. Kamal. And Kel, would you give that a read for us, please?
R.G. Kamal, Cigar Smokers. Their body smell is of cigars, which is quite nice and luxurious. They tend to take things slow, easy, all the time. They never seem to be in a hurry, and they ever appear cool and relaxed. Some appreciate a good butt when they see one and are quite tempted to run their hand over it. This with the smoking butt between their lips. And boom.
Nice read. Pam, why don't you start us off?
Absolutely. I do enjoy how R.G. Does brevities so well. And he actually took one of the more humorous prompts that I put up just because it made me smile. Cigar smokers appreciate a good butt. And, you know, I thought his play on words, his end lines especially, worked over that really well. Some would be the second stanza. Some appreciate a good butt when they see one and are quite tempted to run their hand over it. A nice touch of humor. But I also like in the beginning stanza, the beginning where he says, their body smell is of cigars, which is quite nice and luxurious. They tend to take things easy. So he not only puts in the scent, the kind of like the you imagine what a cigar smoker would smell like, but also kind of presents us with a persona of a laid-back attitude. So I thought that was really cool and very well done.
I agree. Great comment, Pam. he definitely does tend it on the humorous side, but I think it's refreshing. It's a nice little poem to read in between, and a good note to end on as well, with just the lighthearted jesting at the end. And there's no way to read some appreciate a good butt when they see one, and this with the smoking butt between their lips without just a grin. So great job. And what did you think, Kel?
I liked it. I really liked it. I don't smoke cigars, but I do smoke cigarettes, okay? And, you know, I like this. They never seem to be in a hurry, and they ever appear cool and relaxed. Well, you don't want to be around me if I'm not smoking. I'm telling you. Because cool and relaxed, I'm not. But I really love this ending. Some appreciate a good butt when they see one and are quite tempted to run their hand over this with the smoking butt between their lips. I love the double entendre there. It's quite amusing, and it's just, this is a really, really fun, lighthearted little read. Really liked it.
Great comment, Kel. And all right, Pam, great prompt choice. Excellent show.
And same to you. I had a great fun hanging out with you and Kel and Tom and Lauren. And thank you, as always, Mika, for being a wonderful co-host. And why don't you go ahead and tell us about your topic for Strange Magic coming up in a half hour.
Yeah, well, we actually kind of have a leftover show from stuff that was from our Weaned on Poison contest. And also a contest that Victoria ran, which is Price of Heartbreak. So it's going to have some deep rights, some pretty intense emotions, and hopefully people enjoy the cathartic release of that. And, yeah, that's what we got coming up in just a few minutes.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds good. And then tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, is Double Helix, and their topic is imposter syndrome, feeling like you're not who you are, or, you know, feeling like you put on a false front for people. So I think that's going to be a really intriguing topic. And, all right, great show, and we'll see you all in a half hour or so if you're able to.
What's the
great show, Pam? Good night, Kel. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good night, Mika. It's wonderful.